One of the slogans that we think about and we associate with Remembrance Sunday is "Lest we forget." And I just want us to spend a few moments now focusing our thoughts, our attention on that slogan and thinking about it from a couple of different perspectives. On the one hand, we gather here this morning as human beings, as people who seek to remember the past, to remember the great toll of war upon our world. And on the other hand, we gather here this morning as Christians, as believers, and we seek to consciously remember our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to do briefly this morning is just to ask and to try and answer two questions. The first is, what do we need to remember? And the second is, why? Why do we need to remember? So first of all, what do we need to remember? I think this morning that we need to remember the horror. We need to remember the horror of war. And I know that I don't need to convince you of the horror of war. You all have some conception of the unbelievable depths of inhumanity that war creates in our world. But I think that we do need to remember it. I'd like to read you a few lines of a letter that was written by a young soldier who was a Christian. It was written in 1916, during the First World War, from the Somme. And this young man, who you can see in the picture there, his name is Harry Foster. He wrote this letter to his mother, and he described an experience that he had. He and his company of soldiers went over the top of the trench, and they found themselves in no man's land, and they couldn't go forward, and they couldn't go backwards. And this is what he wrote. There was nothing for it but to shift, and most of us made another dash. I looked ahead and saw another shell hole about 10 yards away, and stopping low, I dashed for it. I was in terrible plight, as weak as a rat and not knowing what to do. I decided to wait until it was dark, when I should have a better chance of crawling back to our trenches. At last, I knew it was getting dark as the rays of a star shell managed to penetrate the dark corner where I was. Making as little movement as possible, I slipped off my equipment and everything else I was carrying and commenced to crawl through the shattered wire. Several times I got hung up on it, and it seemed ages before I could free myself. At last, I got clear of the wire, which stretched about 30 yards or more, and began to breathe freely. I got back to our lines and at once went to the dressing station and had my arms, wrists, hands, and knees painted with iodine to prevent any poisoning from the barbed wire scratches I had. Through God's help alone, I survived that day. All through, you can see how wonderfully our prayers were answered, and I am, as I know you are, full of gratitude to him. This is one of countless truly horrific incidents from war, from the First World War. And it's beautiful to see at the end his faith shining through in the midst of the darkness of his circumstances. As Christians this morning, we gather here together and we cast our minds back to Calvary. Was there ever a more horrific scene in the history of the world than when the perfect Son of God, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, was hung, not on barbed wire, but upon a cross? When he cried out in dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? Luke tells us that the sun stopped shining for 3 hours in the middle of the day. Matthew tells us that there was an earthquake. Creation marked this occasion. Paul, reflecting on it in Philippians 2, wrote these words: Christ Jesus, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in appearance as a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Obedient to death, even death on a cross. Cicero, a Roman statesman from the first century BC, wrote about the cross, and he said that the cross is the most cruel and abominable form of punishment. Cicero was a Roman citizen. He knew about Roman executions. He had seen people hung upon the cross, and he said that the cross, the very word cross, should be foreign not only to the body of a Roman citizen, but to his thoughts, his eyes, his ears. He shouldn't think about it. He shouldn't see a crucifixion. He shouldn't hear of it. That anyone should die on a cross is awful. But that the perfect, sinless Son of God should die upon a cross is unimaginably horrific. May we never become overfamiliar with this. May we never forget. The second thing that we need to remember is the sacrifice. There are many stories of sacrifice in the line of duty. The man that you see on the screen behind me, his name is Jack Lucas. He's an American Marine. He signed up to fight as a Marine in the Second World War at the age of 14. He was strong for his age. He managed to lie in his interview about his age. And so he was consigned to drive a truck in Hawaii, but that wasn't what he'd signed up for. He'd signed up to fight, and so he stowed away on a troop transport vessel that was bound for the Japanese island of Iwo Jima in the North Pacific, and he landed on the island on D-Day without a gun. He managed to pick up a rifle from a fallen soldier on the beach, and he fought his way inland. The following day, he was with three American soldiers. They were crawling through a trench, and they were ambushed by a group of Japanese soldiers. Jack managed to shoot one of the Japanese soldiers, and then his rifle jammed. And as he was trying to unjam his rifle, a grenade was thrown into the trench, and it landed at his feet. Without thinking, he shouted a warning to his friends. He picked up the grenade and he shoved it as far as he could into the mud. And just as he did that, another grenade was thrown into the trench. And Jack Lucas, who was 17 years old at the time, threw himself on top of both of the grenades as they exploded. He thought he was going to die, but miraculously he survived. When he woke up, he found that he was on a hospital ship. And after 21 reconstructive operations, he became America's youngest soldier to win a Medal of Honor and the only high school freshman ever to receive one. And when I read stories like that, I find them very moving. I'm inspired by the heroism of men like Jack Lucas. We sometimes hear about groups of soldiers described as bands of brothers, as a bond of fellowship that joins them together. And it's an incredibly brave and noble thing to sacrifice your life for your friends. But what about sacrificing yourself? Giving away your life for your enemies? Would anyone conceive of doing such a thing? Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly, God-haters, rebellious, Christ died for us. Jack Lucas was one of those rare breeds of men who was prepared to sacrifice himself for his friends. But Jesus was unique in that he sacrificed himself for his enemies. We must never forget this sacrifice. I'd like us to think now about why. Why do we need to remember these things? And very simply, I think that we need to remember these things because we forget. We are prone to forget great things. God wrote these words through the prophet Isaiah to his people, Israel. He said, "I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you forget the Lord, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth?" Do you remember the nation of Israel, who were delivered miraculously by the Lord from their slavery in Egypt? Remember that they walked across the Red Sea on dry land as God parted the waters before them. They crossed over to the other side and they looked back to see God destroy the armies of Pharaoh that were following them, that were pursuing them to capture and kill them. And these people, as they saw this, they cried out in gratitude to God. They sang a song to God. And they said things like, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" If you read on in Exodus chapter 15, you'll see that just 3 days later, these same people who had cried out to God for his deliverance, thanked him, praised him, 3 days later, they were grumbling. They were moaning. They were hungry. They forgot. They forgot the Lord. They forgot what he could do. They forgot his provision, his protection. We need to remember things, consciously remember things that are important to us. And I think it's good and it's right that we spend time corporately this morning remembering fallen soldiers, men and women who were prepared to lay down their life for a greater cause, to lay down their lives for our freedom. But this morning and every morning, it is fundamentally important that we need to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote these words to Timothy. He said, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember Jesus Christ." I just want to take a second to think about who Paul was writing to. So he was writing to Timothy. Timothy was a leader of one of the most vibrant churches in the New Testament, the church in Ephesus. Timothy was engaged in opposing, fighting against false teachers, standing up for the truth of the gospel. Timothy was one of Paul's most faithful disciples, absolutely trustworthy. If Paul thought that it was necessary to write these words to Timothy, who lived in the first century, less than 50 years after the death of Jesus, then how much more do we need to read and hear and take these words on board today after nearly 2,000 years of church history? Remember Jesus Christ. And what is it that Timothy is being encouraged to remember about Jesus? Well, Paul's saying, remember who Jesus is. Remember the person of Jesus. Jesus was descended from David. You can see and read about the records of Jesus' family trees in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, the genealogies. Jesus was made like us. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. He was raised from the dead. His resurrection demonstrates that he is who he said he was, who he claimed to be, the Son of God. So Paul encourages Timothy to remember who Jesus is, and he also encourages him to remember what Jesus has done. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead reminds us that Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross, took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins. God raised Jesus from the dead as proof that the sacrifice that Jesus made was sufficient. Our sins can be forgiven. And the fact that Jesus was descended from David reminds us that Jesus is kingly. He is of royal descent. He is a king, and he's come to establish a kingdom that will never end. I want to remind you this morning of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King over all creation. Have you accepted the forgiveness that Jesus came to offer you? Have you bowed your knee before his throne? I challenge you this morning to think about these things, to remember Jesus Christ, lest we forget. Before we share a time of communion together, the band are going to lead us in a song.